since a friend of mine was a plumber, I used to jokingly refer to myself as a plumber's friend. And many of you know that plumber's friend is a nickname for being a plunger for unstopping toilets. One day this plumber friend of mine says, Don, what is the most misused and abused tool in the world? And I had no idea. I thought maybe it was some complex machine. But he said it was a screwdriver. And interesting that they used to be called screw turners. And so what do we have in common? Well, the title of my sermon is People and Screwdrivers. To begin with, people come in all shapes and sizes, you might say, and screwdrivers come in quite a variety, but primarily for a long time it was just the slotted type and the Phillips type. Now, there's many other tips on screwdrivers for special screws and nuts and so forth. So which is better? Well, of course, you can't say which is better. It depends on what you need it for. In other words, you need the right tool for the right purpose. So it's like saying, well, what kind of person is better? Well, obviously, God created a great variety in life, a great variety of creation, and certainly a great variety in human beings. Now, what makes one screwdriver better than another is primarily the quality, you know, the quality of the steel and so forth. But basically, it's having them for the right purpose. So what is the primary purpose for a screwdriver? Well, drive screws. They are so handy and versatile. And now to illustrate why my friend talked about it being so misused. And when I say misuse, I don't mean abuse it, although some types of uses were abusive to the screwdriver. But let me mention some of these. Screwdrivers can be destructive, like for vandalism or as a weapon. But most common misuses are quite benign. They can be used as a scraper, like to scrape dried paint off of a surface, as a stirrer, like to stir paint, or as a pry tool, like to lift a lid off of a paint can, as a wedge, like to help remove a pin from a door hinge, as a chisel, to like to chip away at wood, as a punch to make a hole, as a pick to chop ice, as a digger to dig up the soil in a flower pot, as a marking tool if you don't have a pencil to mark a line for sawing, as a handle to get a better grip on a rope, and as an electrical conductor to help make an electrical connection. And many a worker has stirred his coffee with a screwdriver. So screwdrivers are, of course, very simple, very versatile, and are used in many different ways. And like I said, most of those are harmless to the screwdriver. Now, the human being, of course, is the most versatile tool. I mean, we are so versatile. And so that's why I think screwdriver is a fair analogy with us human beings. Now, as far as our purpose, we explain that very well in our booklet called Why Were You Born? And it is really important to understand what is God's purpose for us. As time goes along and I reflect more and more on God's creation, I realize that God doesn't care about animals and birds and fish and trees and planets and stars and all that. All of that is made for our benefit. What God cares about is human beings, because they're the creatures, as it tells us right in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, they are the creatures that are made to become eventually part of the family of God. God wants to expand his family. He wants children. He wants a greatly expanded family. So all of this wonderful, amazing creation is for our use and our enjoyment and our entertainment and all of that. And, of course, we have more and more to be entertained with. I am so glad we live in a modern age with modern photography and even videography and even underwater photography. I'm just amazed at what we're learning about what's deep down in the ocean that we never saw before until People could send cameras down deep in water with great cameras and all to take these videos and photos and everything. And then, of course, with so many nature programs, we are able to basically see all parts of the world without ever traveling anywhere. We can sit in our own living rooms and watch our TV or a video and see amazing scenery all over the world. And there's such variety. And I expect to give a sermon pretty soon on how God obviously loves variety. I mean, the more I think and the longer I live, the more I just think, wow, God just really loves variety. Well, we're so thankful that God has made all of this for our benefit. Now, it's partly for our entertainment, but also for practical uses as well. But it's a demonstration of how much God loves us. He's really invested in us. You know, oftentimes I've wondered, what was God doing for trillions of years before he created the planet Earth and created Adam and Eve? And then I think, well, it probably took him about 1,000 years to design one bird. In other words, every creature is so complex. When you think of all the different systems in any kind of animal or fish or bird or whatever, the bones and the circulatory system and the breathing system and the nervous system and all the systems that go into any kind of creature. And everyone is different. I mean, it's like, you know, if something worked well, why didn't God just use the same thing over and over again? But I mean, the reproductive systems and the migratory systems and the instincts that different animals have and everything is just like, there's just no end. My mind just can't even begin to comprehend all the different types of designs there are in the world. And that's for our benefit. So, but why did God create us? Well, it's one thing to sort of halfway believe in the Bible and so forth. But for us that are called by God to be in his church and to be given the understanding that we have and understand the awesome purpose, we understand better than anybody how much God dearly loves us and how much he has done and is doing and will be doing for us. So we are very versatile. I mean, the versatility of human beings is amazing. I mean, we can't swim nearly as well as a fish. We can't run nearly as well as a horse. We can't fly like birds, and on and on and on. We could use endless examples of how physical creatures can do certain things much better than we can. But a horse, you know, a fish can't run. And in other words, they're very limited in what they can do and are regularly doing. But we can do so many things. I mean, we can watch different kinds of sports and how people excel in those athletic abilities, in those sports, and how that they invent so many things, and they're entrepreneurs, and they're inventors, and they become highly skilled at certain things. Whether it's occupations or whether it's for sports or whatever, human beings with the human body and the human mind are just so amazing. Now, of course, what really sets us apart from all animals and other physical creatures is the fact that we have a spirit in man. And that's what the Holy Spirit combines with when it comes in when we're baptized. And so we have that spiritual component, which gives us this thinking ability and this imagination and to imagine off into the future and to dwell on the past and all of these things and think about relationships and all that. I mean, there's so many ways that human beings are superior to any animal of any kind. But that also means that we can use those abilities for all kinds of bad purposes, evils and crimes and sins and wickedness and evils of all kinds. But we can also, and this is especially appropriate for us who are called into the church. In other words, if somebody is not called, you can't really fault them very much for having not devoted more into his spiritual life and future. In other words, God doesn't hold them very accountable because they don't have that calling and that understanding. And so if they don't spend time reading the Bible, or they don't go to church, or they don't think about God much and everything, we can't fault them too much if they're not being called. But for those of us that are called into the church, God holds us highly accountable. So we're so blessed to be called by God, but we're also so accountable to God for using that gift and that calling and everything. So other people can be excused for not reading the Bible and excused for not praying and so forth, and excused for not trying to serve and to be a light to the world and to be the salt of the earth and all that. But we don't have that excuse, because we are called and we are given a special calling and a purpose in life. And so we are judged a much higher standard, you see. You know, the parable of the sower is such a meaningful parable. But the example that applies, I think, more to us in the church than any of them, is the seed sown among the weeds and among all the vegetation. You know, because we can sprout up and start to grow, but then all the surrounding plants and weeds take the nourishment and the moisture and all that and the sunlight, and so that we're not really bearing fruit very much. So we have to be very careful that even though we're highly interested in many things, we may be interested in a lot of sports, a lot of fiction, a lot of entertainment, a lot of recreation, sports activities, and so forth. We have to be very careful that we are not using the screwdriver for everything but driving screws. That we're not using our energy and our time and our imagination and our brain power and everything for so many other distractions and purposes and neglect what we should be focused on by far more than anything else, and that is our calling. We are the ones called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and to serve and to be doers of the word and to help to preach the gospel and all of that, and to endure to the end and to be building character so that we will be ready then to be transformed into spirit beings in the kingdom of God to help Jesus Christ rule the world. So that is such an awesome calling. And so with this crude analogy, this crude comparison with screwdrivers, you get the point. And that is just like a screwdriver can be used for a lot of different things. And usually that doesn't do the screwdriver any harm. But if we spend a huge amount of our time on all kinds of other things other than focusing on our calling and our purpose in life, then we are wasting time. We are disappointing God in that sense. So, and then, of course, we can't let down. We may be all gung-ho and enthusiastic with the first love and all for a while, but we have got to maintain that deep love for God and love for one another and keep enduring and growing and so forth. You know, in 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul wrote that we are called to save yourself and those who hear you. So first of all, you got to take care of yourself, because you're not worth anything to anybody else if you don't take care of yourself. And I like to think of the analogy of a passenger on an airplane. You know, they always tell you, if you have a child, and you have an emergency, put the oxygen mask on yourself before you try to put it on your child. Because if you pass out while you're struggling with a child, you're not going to be worth anything to yourself or your child. So you got to take care of yourself, and that's why it's important for us to take care of our physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health, and all that, so that we are useful. We are a useful tool to others. God really does want us to take care of our physical health, for example. So it's fine for you to specialize in your business or your money-making opportunity, whatever it is. I mean, you've got to take care of your family. You've got to earn a living, and there's all these physical things. You got to sleep. You got to eat. There's so many physical things we have to do, but But other than the necessary things in life, we must not let too many things crowd in so that we are using these amazing minds and bodies for everything but what we're primarily called to do. And it is wonderful to see the variety. I mean, God has called us with people with all kinds of talents and abilities and skills and all. And I was just enjoy talking to Brenda about her. She loves to paint. Well, I wish I had artistic ability. And I think, you know, when I'm a spirit being, I hope that finally I can sing well, you know, when I'm finally a spirit being. But we all have different abilities and talents. And it's kind of late in life that I think my primary productive, useful ability is in writing. I wish I hadn't realized that earlier in life. So God expects us to use our abilities wherever he is, like bloom where you're planted. You know, whatever opportunities and abilities you have, use those. The more I think about it, the more I think about how precious time is. So time does fly by. So we must not waste time. You know, life is time, and time is life. So let's be very conscious of how we do use our time, and that we're not sowing our seed off in the weeds. And it's okay to be out in the weeds a little bit, but to have pastimes and hobbies and interest and all that. But we must, as God's people, stay focused and realize why am I created as a human being? But in this day and age, in this life, this is our chance now. I mean, other people are going to have their chance later on during the millennium or during the great white throne judgment period. But if we're called now, now is our time. We are being judged now. Judgment is now on the house of God. And so we are being judged every day by how we use our time. If you're a screwdriver, you're supposed to be driving screws. You know, whatever your abilities are, you're supposed to be doing that. And we can't just, you know, in many religions, they think in terms of who's the most important God. Well, it's not enough to say God is number one. He's numero uno. He is the only one. In other words, God is not content to just be the most important God. He is the only God. And we should be focused on him and not be distracted by anything else. So, to use a screwdriver for something else than driving screws is no problema. No problem. But, you know, to use this mind and body that God has given us, if we're called by God, we're supposed to be bearing fruit. We're supposed to be fruitful and not forget that. So, you know, the way it's put it in the parable of the sower in Mark 4 and Luke 8 is those who desire other things. We can easily desire other things. And Luke 8:14 says, those that are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Choked with cares, riches, in other words, material things, and pleasures of life. God wants us to have hobbies and enjoyable things, but we must not let those things dominate. It's so sad how some people ended up. You know, King Solomon was so wise to begin with, and he wrote such good things like Proverbs, and so many Proverbs, and Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and so forth. But, you know, I see he got sidetracked, and we wonder exactly how his life. It's not clear whether Solomon repented at the end of his life or not. But that's certainly an example of somebody who had tremendous abilities, tremendous wisdom, partly because it was a special gift of God. But then he began to just misuse it. And, of course, obviously, it's part of it because he's wanting all these women in his life. And you talk about distractions. He had lots of distractions. But we have got to be, you know, when Jesus' parents found him in the temple and they asked him what he had been doing, he said, "Don't you know I need to be about my Father's business?" Well, brethren, we need to be about our Father's business. So, you know, we reap what we sow, and we got to be careful what we're reaping. Because we careful what we're sowing, so that what we reap is going to be what we hope to reap. And I hope that all of us desire to have a big reward in God's kingdom. Not so that we can feel good about ourselves. Hey, I got a big reward. But if you have a big reward in God's kingdom, it is because you deserved it. You earned it. You are using your time well in this life. And then also, I pictured the way I think is right. The way I understand it is the higher position you have. Some people say, "I don't want to have a high position in God's kingdom. You know, I just, like David said, I just content to be a doorkeeper in the house of God." Well, the more responsibility you have, the more people you can serve, the more good you can accomplish, the more power you have to do good. And that's why we should actually desire to have a high reward in God's kingdom, because that means we are going to have the power to do more good, to help more people, to accomplish more good, to bear more fruit, and so forth. So that's the way you should look at the reward in God's kingdom. Now, we have to be very aware of habits. You know, habits are a wonderful thing when it's a good habit, and it's a bad thing if it's a bad habit, but it's also a waste of time if it's just a kind of a materialistic habit. It's not an evil habit, a destructive habit, but it's just a habit of using your time in every way else but reading the Bible and serving in the church and reaching out to people and loving people and trying to do good for people and so forth. And so we should be faithful and growing so that we can continue to serve as best we're able to. And so let's certainly keep all these things in mind. I'm fascinated, partly because I am an elder in the church, to study 1 and 2 Timothy. And one of the main lessons of reading the epistles to 1 and 2 Timothy was Timothy had a lot of good qualities and a lot of good strengths and abilities and all that. But Paul could see that he was kind of getting sidetracked. He even warned about spending too much time in physical exercise. And, you know, he's saying, don't pay much attention to these old wives' tales and all this other stuff. And he's saying you'll hear all kinds of stuff, but don't get distracted by those things. So to me, the biggest weakness, and I'm hoping that Timothy greatly responded to those letters from Paul and changed his ways, and because he was getting too distracted. He had all these abilities, and I tend to be interested in everything. I find everything interesting. I mean, it's like I wish I had 1,000 years just to read all kinds of books and everything. And I find almost every subject interesting. So somebody like me, and I suppose somebody like Timothy, you got to be very careful that you don't let things that are interesting, you know, lull you or lure you into focusing time where, you know, you'd be better spending your time on something more important. You see, so if you are a screwdriver, make sure you're focused on driving screws.